that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Father, we acknowledge You as our God and our Savior today. We thank You that You can be a refuge and a strength. We need Your comfort and Your strength today. We celebrate the life of Margaret Elizabeth Amos, a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that You would be close to the family and to all those who have had a close relationship with Mark over the years. Be with us in this service of celebration, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
We're going to sing a hymn that Marg loved, and it's a great hymn of the church. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made. And you can, as you go through this hymn, you can imagine Marg out there in the garden smiling as all her plants bloomed and frowning as the insects got involved and things like that. But a great hymn to be singing at this time. Let's stand and sing.
I see the stars.
The beautiful artwork that you see at the front of the church in presentation for the cantata that will be presented here this weekend was done by John Amos. Thank you, John. Marg's life impacted many groups of people, family, church family, and the community. And we have representatives from each area that are going to share at this time. So Ann Amos is going to come, followed by Julia Rice, and then by Warren Gable.
I'm a little bit nervous, and my voice will be a little bit shaky, but I hope you'll bear with me. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody for coming today on behalf of my family. It's quite a morning out there with the snow, and I think my mom would get a kick out of seeing how many people showed up here today to honor her. She'd probably tell most of us to quit wasting our time and get busy helping somebody else. And considering the snow, your presence is all the more appreciated. So how do you begin to talk about a life so well lived? Someone with such vitality and strength, someone who had time for everyone, who would help anyone, and who would love anyone too. I was told it helps to pick one word to describe describe a person if you're trying to talk about them, and then go from there. And I thought, how can I find a word to describe my mother? So I've listened over the last couple of days at the visitation to all of that you have said to my family. I've sat down or talked with family members to get their feelings about my mom. And this is what I have learned. I could pick the word faithful, patient, generous, consistent, enduring, helpful, dependable, and how about busy? There is a list on the back of the program that talks about all that my mother did. Don't look at it now, it'll take you forever to read it. Of all the groups that she was involved in, and actually I've learned over the visitation the last couple of days that there's a few more that I missed. And I do apologize to the coffee hour people, because that was a big part of my mom's life. And I know I had it in my original notes, but just in all the scrambling around, I missed it. It was a big part of her life. So I apologize to you for missing that. I also learned that she was the area rep for the Kidney Foundation. A kind neighbor let me know that, and she got all the door-to-door people together. I guess the coffee hour, which I already mentioned. My brother, getting back to the word busy, my brother jokes that we had to get my mother an answering machine so we could get a hold of her. And even though we knew she was busy, and I think this goes for everyone, she was always ready with a deft hand to help at a moment's notice amongst all her other duties that she had planned for the day. And yet she always had moments of quiet reflecting. I remember her drinking her tea on the swing in the garden, slowly rocking and just enjoying her garden. Reading her Bible every morning. She got up at 6, so she started her day. And, reading her Bible as the dawn crept over the morning sky. I think that was a big part of how grounded she was every day. Another word we could use would be steady. No matter how busy my mom, she always seemed to move at a gentle, steady pace. Another word would be clarity. She had the gift of knowing what was required and when, and when to give it. She didn't stumble over details. She just, that I got from my aunt. She was giving. She never asked for much for herself. It was always what she could give. always behind the scenes, quietly helping and guiding. She was dedicated. She was dedicated to her God, her church, her community, her husband and family. She was devoted to Betty Jean, her eldest daughter who required special care. Unselfish. It was small, I got this from my brother. It was the small things that pleased her. It wasn't the large, flashy flowers in her garden she wanted you to see. She would always brush them aside and show you the small, delicate flowers underneath. Strength. My mother had amazing inner strength and discipline, and she had strong convictions. She maintained a schedule which started at 5 a.m. and ended each day at midnight. Unflappable. I've heard this word a lot. An example I have is from my experience when we were kids and we were camping at Rondo Park in Windsor. A tornado came through the campsite in the middle of the night, and my mom calmly packed us kids up and put us in the car and waited it out. There was another time when we were camping and a skunk walked right into the middle of the campsite. And without batting an eye, my mother told us calmly to stand still and waited patiently for the skunk to leave. Guiding. She was a guide because of who she was and what she represented. Her example was something you referenced when you were at a crossroads yourself. Now, I always cry when I tell this story anyway, so I'm going to be allowed here. Teacher. My mother was able to deliver lifelong lessons quietly and simply, and I have two examples. Because of all the kids through our house, and again, see the back of the bulletin to see foster parents, my mother always ensured everything was divided or given equally among the kids. One day, and I was very young here, I had just come in from outside playing with my friends, and as I went to my room, I noticed Mom was back from going to the store. And I also noticed my sister Betty had a new puzzle. I went to my room, but there was not a new puzzle for me. And I was puzzled. I need a clean glass. Sorry. Excuse me. My mom hadn't given me one also. She had broken the rule of fairness. Quite indignant, I went downstairs and informed my mother of this fact. She slowly put down whatever she was doing and looked at me quite long and slowly said, "Betty doesn't have friends like you do," and slowly picked up her work. I tell you, I felt this small. It seared my soul. No other response could have had a better effect. In seven words, she exposed my awful selfishness, but also gave me the ability to really look at someone, to see through the surface of daily events and see someone's need. I never forgot it, and how much I disappointed her that day. Another time, I remembered standing at the bottom of the driveway as a car was taking away a foster child we had cared for, bawling my eyes out. And I remember feeling the touch of my mother's hand on my shoulder and gently saying, "People will come into your life, some for a long time, some for a short time, some only minutes or seconds. But they all have a lesson for us, and then they move on." When people come into our lives, we need to love them for as long as we can. Another word to describe my mother is music lover. My mom loved music. I'm grateful today. I'm sorry. Randy's going to be singing a song for my mom. She loved soprano solos, so I deeply appreciate it. My aunt, but getting back to my mom and music, my aunt tells a story of when they were children in Toronto and waiting to get on the streetcar, my mom started to hum. And this continued. And this continued while they got onto the streetcar and when my mom got seated. In fact, it had grown a lot louder and continued to. My mom was so engrossed in her song, she barely noticed the wary looks sent her way, particularly by the gentleman sitting beside her. She was enjoying music and was oblivious to all else. There's another story where my mother and her sister were taken to a store with their mother and were required to wait patiently sort of in an alcove where there were mirrors and you could see each other. And for whatever reason, they started to imagine they were, a church or somewhere, and very loudly started singing God Save the King. And needless to say, my mother's mom, a very proper and refined woman, rushed out of the store and packed them away quite quickly. Another time I remember was when I purchased tickets for Mom and Dad for the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and the Hallelujah Chorus. It was something she'd always wanted to see, so we went to Roy Thompson Hall, and we bought a front row seats. It was important. And as we sat there, I glanced over at my mom as the music started to see if I really had given her what I had wanted. And her face was beaming, and she was just enjoying everything. And I settled back satisfied that, you know, she was really going to enjoy this. And the next thing I know, she is singing at the top of her lungs with the choir. Luckily, there's lots and lots of people in the choir. And I just looked at her and thought, you go, girl. Clear. My mom had a gift. Oh, did I say this already? My mom had a gift of knowing what was required and how to give it. Soothing. There wasn't anything my mother couldn't fix with a good talk and, of course, a good cup of tea. Grateful. She was so grateful for her life and anything you gave her. Focused. When you sat down with her, she gave you her full attention. Protective. When we were younger, every year my mom and dad took us camping, and we did travel quite a bit all around Ontario and down east. At this time, my mother could have sent the foster kids we had in our care to another home or to someplace else. But my mom's conviction was if they were in the inner circle of the family, they were one of our own. So off we went camping. You must remember now that sometimes we had two or three foster kids at a time, and many were in diapers, cloth diapers. Camping. The two words don't really mix. It was only years later I realized the efforts my mother went to ensure those kids were included. Cheerful. My mother always had a smile on her face. Love. My mother was a woman of tremendous love. My sister-in-law recalls a day at my place on the lake where my mom was sitting on the front porch and she had just brought up her newly born second grandchild. And my mom held her for most of the entire day. And mom was asked from time to time if she wanted a rest, and she simply smiled and said, "Oh no, we're fine." And my sister-in-law noticed the child had really snuggled into my mother. And the peace and serenity and love on that porch, my sister-in-law can only describe it was as if the two were one. I'm sure there are many words that you feel I have missed, such as true, compassionate, rock, and many others. I could go on all day, but I will end here. Given her dedication to all things vulnerable and their care, particularly her love of children, I mean, we can like children, but my mom loved children. This was her gift. And we as a family felt nurturing was the word for my mom. Her garden speak this word. There wasn't a single plant in her garden my mother didn't place there out of love, even if she couldn't remember the name of it. The names didn't matter to her so much as the plant. Every flower bloomed under her hand. Her gentle nurturing, and not just bloomed, but grew beyond even its expected potential. I remember simple lilies 8 feet tall. I think even the saddest seedling made efforts to survive so as not to disappoint her. And this effect she had on more than just flowers. Her friends speak this word. She has a garden of friends, some in the forefront, and some in the background, but each one so dearly loved. You, her friends, were the fuel for her soul, the reason why she could accomplish so much. And we thank you for your gift of friendship to her. Her family speaks this word. There is not one among us that does not thank God for the honor of living so closely with her. Thank you.
Good morning. I am humbled and honored to be up here today. As I reflected on Marg, particularly her ministries, I was overwhelmed by her sheer commitment to the Lord and how she used her gifts so effectively. One author wrote, "Heaven's heroes never carve their name on marbled columns for earthly fame. They build instead a legacy that springs out of a life lived for the King of Kings." This is true of Marg Amos. Marg loved the church music. According to Dory Pilkey, she was in a choir close to 40 years. During that time, Dory can only remember her missing choir practice once, and that was because of a bad cold. Marg sat in the front row of the choir. That was her spot. Marg was an attender of the Joy Group. This stands for Just Older Youth. This group meets on a monthly basis, and Marg not only enjoyed the different speakers and activities, but she also helped out by collecting money when need be. Marg also assisted in the counting of funds from the collection plate after the Sunday service. Each Monday, a group from the church go downtown to feed the homeless on the street. Marg and John were in charge of picking up the bread and buns from Loblaws each Monday. They've been doing this for at least 10 years. Tuesday morning for Marg was the ladies' Bible study. This is a fantastic group of ladies who spend part of the study in prayer and the rest in a study situation. Marg usually sat in the same place at the end of the first table. She was wise, logical, and based her opinions on biblical truths. She never wanted to study another Christian book. It was Bible study, and she felt the study time should always be directly from God's Word, the Bible. Marg had attended this Bible study from the start, which is back in the 60s. One Tuesday a month, Marg was busy percolating the coffee in the upper part of Crosby Arena at 8:30 a.m. in preparation for the Unionville Coffee Hour. There she is in the kitchen getting everything ready so others will be able to snack and have a coffee while listening to God's Word. Marg has been helping at Coffee Hour since its inception 27 years ago. Marg's gifts from the Lord were many, but the teaching of children is her legacy. She taught Sunday school for many, many years. 37-year-old Scott Barkey can recall having Mrs. Amos as a teacher when he was just a little boy. She was also a caregiver of children at morning break. This allows ladies from throughout the community to fellowship while learning a craft and having their children cared for. She first cared for the 2- and 3-year-olds and later the 4- and 5-year-olds. Marg has been involved with this ministry since it started about 15 years ago. Wow, what a list of accomplishments. And there's more. For at least 10 years, Marg was a teacher in the Pioneer Girls program. Pioneer Girls was replaced by Awana, which means approved workmen are not ashamed, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. This was certainly true of Marg. Her focus was directly on her Lord and Savior. For the past 22 years, her time in Awana has been spent with the Cubbies. They are the 3- and 4-year-olds. I have had the pleasure of working with Marg and Cubbies for the past 7.5 years. If you ask the children what was their favorite part of Cubbies, they say the craft. Marg has made the craft for the last several years. Her crafts were inventive and unique. She would often call me to tell me about her latest craft and see what I thought about it. If I wasn't home, she would leave a message on my machine that I could call her up until midnight because she'd be up. This is the same lady who was percolating the coffee at 8:30 a.m. at Unionville Coffee Hour. There seemed to be no end to her energy. It was important to Marg that the Cubbies do things properly, especially their craft. She wanted them to color in the lines as best they could. Many times, Marg got down at their level of the child by sitting on the floor and helping a child with their coloring. Her kind and gentle spirit shone through and through. In October of this year, the Cubbies were studying creation. She called me about the craft. In all these years, she had once again come up with something new to do. The children laid on the table on a big piece of brown paper and we traced their bodies. They then colored in the hair, facial features, and clothes. It was so much fun. The kids loved these replicas of themselves. Mrs. Amos had done it again. I had the pleasure of being mentored in the Cubby program by May Cook, who recently passed away, and Marg. What a joy for me it is to be with two wisest of the wisest, most grounded women I will ever know. I can't help but wonder if May and Marg are up in heaven having a glorious reunion and singing the Awana Cubby song, which goes like this. We are Awana Cubbies. We're happy all day long. We know that Jesus loves us. That's why we sing the song. We hop because we're happy, and we jump and shout for joy, for Jesus is a friend to us. He loves each girl and boy. That's what Marg did. She loved each girl and boy, whether they were shy or outspoken, black or white, well-behaved or not so well-behaved, and all those in between. They were treated equally by Marg. Did I say not so well-behaved? Marg was an excellent disciplinarian, as many of you know. No child would cross Mrs. Amos a second time. Every Wednesday night at Cubby's was the same. Marg was there early and had everything set up. Nothing forgotten or done incorrectly, but perfectly set up for the boys and girls. We'd visit and talk and have a laugh. She always made me feel good. There was no stress or strain or power struggle. There was never a bad word or a disagreement. It was an easy relationship. How many people can say they have an easy relationship with someone? Comfortable. But there was still the excitement and anticipation because we never knew what the kids would say or do next. We had many laughs over comments and questions from the children, but it was nice, like being at home. Only it was Cubbies with Marg. I'm not sure if Cubbies will ever be the same. Cubbies may not be the same, but Marg will always be the same to me. She never tired of the ministry or the kids. In fact, she was upset when she missed her first Cubby meeting in 22 years on November 16, 2005, because of illness. She was ageless, in my opinion. For me, ageless is a wonderful word to describe Marg. I used to get upset if someone called her old, because she was Marg, ageless. She didn't change. Just how many young lives were touched by Marg's ministry to children? Only the Lord knows for sure. But on a rough estimate, more than 1,000 boys and girls. I'm sure there's more ministries and accomplishments. My apologies to John and the family because I know Marg did so much more than I could possibly describe here today. But most importantly, the Lord knows. Marg loved the Lord, and it showed every day in her behavior and her speech. Marg was a worker, a helper, a behind-the-scenes girl. No credit or glory was required. Her gift was her job, and she never complained. On a personal note, I am so thankful of the time I had with Mark. It was great. She encouraged me over and over and made me feel I was capable of accomplishing many things. Mark was, in a way, like Markham Missionary Furniture, always there. You knew where you could find her. That is, once you found her, if you could keep up to her. Mark did the work of several women. She never stopped. She had the task completed before some of us realized there was a task to complete. She really gives the rest of us something to aim for. She lived by God's word. I feel truly blessed to have known her. The Cubbies loved her very much, and she will be sorely missed. The furniture at Markham Missionary Church will have to be more than slightly altered to make up for the void that Mark Amos leaves here. Her legacy will not be forgotten. I saw a photo yesterday of Mark holding her grandchild, and there was an inscription on the frame, and it seemed to describe Mark perfectly. It read, "Listens with understanding in her heart, speaks with wisdom in her voice, and loves with all her being." If there was a Guinness Book of Christian Records, Mark would be on many pages. One page would say, "Most committed to her ministries. What she started, she took to completion. 40 years here, 32 years there, and so on. She's a true Hall of Famer, but her rewards, as we know, are in heaven. Enjoy paradise, Mark. You deserve it. May you rest in peace."
I trust you've all seen that photograph on the front of the program. I don't think any photograph would ever be able to do justice to Marg's garden. To say that Marg liked gardening would be quite the understatement. To say that she was a member of the Markham Garden and Horticultural Society would also be quite the understatement. I have with me here today the Society's most recent yearbook. On page one, it lists the honor roll of presidents. Let me read it to you. 1993, Marg Amos. 1994, Marg Amos. 1995, Marg Amos. 2000, Marg Amos. 2001, Marg Amos. 2002, Marg Amos. 2003, Marg Amos. Mark served as president for 7 years. That is more than any other person in that honor roll, which goes back to 1934. Now, what do you think Mark did during the years that I didn't mention? Do you think she took some well-deserved time off? Perhaps she sat back and relaxed, enjoyed the shows, and let everybody else carry the load? Not on your life. In the years not mentioned, she served in several other executive positions and as a director. In fact, no one seems to remember the last time Marg took a year off. Seems like she's always been there, gently stepping in whenever she was needed. To say that she was a pillar would be another one of those understatements. Marg had an obvious love for the Markham Garden Society, but she did seem to have her favorite events, too. The annual plant sale would be one of those favorites. Every year she would take leadership, get the ball rolling, and then keep the ball rolling. Several people grew from seeds many of the plants that were sold at these sales. Marg, of course, was one of these people. And to top it all off, perhaps you know where the annual plant sale was located. I'm sure John and the rest of the family know. It was right on Marg's driveway at home. Year after year. Marg also arranged many of our biannual bus tours, one of the most looked forward to events that we have. Now, this took a lot of preparation, but Marg never once said, "I'm sorry, but I don't have time for that." This just wasn't part of her vocabulary. Time after time, the gardens and lunches were always great. One thing always surprised and amused us on these bus tours, though. There was Marg, buying more plants when her garden was already full. You know, I'd really like to know where she put them. Marg was also active in the Society's efforts at the Markham Museum, joining the group there that personally planted hundreds of tulips. Marg also provided the fresh flowers for the centerpieces at Wednesday's morning breaks right here at Markham Missionary Church. Even in her final days, while she was lying in a hospital bed, she somehow arranged to get the flowers to the church on time. Thanks, John. But it's not really about what Marg did that affects us so deeply. It's about who she is. She was always there for us on a personal level. She wasn't just a president. She was a friend. Whenever anyone needed gardening tips or help with their problems, Marg was there for them. Whenever someone wanted to tour her garden, sometimes even without notice, she extended hospitality without hesitation and always with a smile. She also supported some of our junior members when they participated in the district's annual general meeting. Executive meetings were never just meetings. They were fellowship. They were friendship. They were literally love in action. So where did this love come from? What was the cause of such devotion and friendship? I'm sure we would all quite quickly say, well, that's Marg. That's who she is. But that's not what Marg would say. If asked, Marg would have said that Jesus is the source of that love that we see in her. There's no way she would have taken credit for it. Instead, she would have told us that it is possible to know God and that this personal relationship puts love in our hearts. Once the love is there, it just naturally spills over onto everyone else. Marg knew the way, and I pray that we can all learn from her wonderful example. Marg, you will be missed. See you later.
And know that he is God. Thank you, Randy.
We've heard today that nothing compared to the scriptures itself for Marg in her studies and her goal and the nurture of her own soul. So as we turn to God's word, I just pray that you will allow these scriptures to nurture your soul, massage your soul today as Marg would want you to respond to them. From the psalmist, Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And from Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And some verses from the book of Romans that would have been very special to Mark and very important to us today. Romans chapter 8, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then finally, the words of Jesus himself as he spoke comfort to his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's talk to our Lord. Father in heaven, we bow before you today as we celebrate a disciple of Jesus who lived her faith consistently and thoroughly. Thank you, Lord, as we gather today, we come to you for your consolation. We come to you, Heavenly Father, for you are the great shepherd. You're the one that goes before us. You're the one that knows our needs. We come before you for your care and your nurture and your consolation today for the Amos family. Lord, we pray that you will be with them. There is a large gap in their lives. But we pray, Father, that as we give tribute to a life lived for you, as we know, Father, that in some way you desired that Marg come to you, may that be consolation, may that be comfort in hearts today, as this lady who meant so much to so many people has gone to her reward, her eternal reward. Thank you, Heavenly Father, you provided a Savior, one who died for all our sins, one to whom we can all turn and know eternal salvation as Marg knew it. And grant, Father, that the way she blazed the trail in knowing her Savior and living for her Savior will mark a pathway for each of us to follow, that we can have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ that she desired. Thank you, Heavenly Father, you provided the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who comes to our lives today and brings your presence in us, intimately caring for us. So, Lord, today we thank you for Marg's family, for husband, for children, for grandchildren, for sister, and for extended family. Lord, we lift them up to you and ask for your care and your touch on them. Thank you for the fostering care that Marg and John gave. And thank you for how we've seen the picture today of through your love poured into Marg's life, she could open her heart wide and embrace all to whom she was given the care. Thank you for the lives that she has touched. We praise you for the hundreds of children that have been touched down through the years. Praise you for that in Sunday school and Awana, for the community that has seen a life lived quietly, depending on her Savior and Lord. And Lord, may that be a blessing in many lives. And so today, Lord, as we look to you for your comfort and for your care, as we pray for John in the days ahead, and we pray for his physical well-being, Lord, we pray that you'll just touch and give him relief of that arthritis that is causing so much difficulty. As we pray for Mark's children and for the others in the family, Lord, will you be to them the great shepherd that you desire to be? May they open themselves fully, as Marg would desire them to do, in trusting you and in turn following her example in a life well lived. Father, may this service be to your honor and glory. We pray you'll bless Pastor Barry as he ministers the word to us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It is most fitting that we have a children's hymn, and in the simple message of our hymn here, the gospel is presented. Let's stand and sing.
What wonderful tributes we heard today. And thank you for representing your family so well, like you have all this week in all the talks we've had. You've always thought about the rest of them, what they would like you to say, and I could hear you saying it. The family said, my aunt said, you included them all, and you gave a wonderful tribute, and the Lord gave you the strength to get through it. I know it was difficult. And Julia, you represented the church so well. Thank you for doing that and sharing, for some of us that are newer on the block, some of the insights that we need to know. And some of the rest of you who've worked so closely with Marg, they're just saying, yes, that's right. She was just like that. And yes, she's been our mentor too. And yes, she's been so faithful and consistent and reliable and dependable and all of those words that we don't always use of people these days. I trust the younger generation will learn from the older generation the importance of dependability and reliability in every area. I wasn't quite sure who was going to represent the Horticultural Society. I talked to Lynn and just before the service, and she said, oh, all of us women would love to have said so much about Marg, but we didn't think we could last up here without crying. And some of us were struggling that way as well. Warren, thank you for pitch hitting for them and representing them. They said they've all shared some things with you about Marg related to her wonderful contribution to the Horticultural Society and to our community, because I guess all of us are, in a sense, receive the blessing of a Horticultural Society in terms of the beauty of the city itself. Thank you, Randy, for singing a soprano song. I didn't realize that Marg was so interested specifically in sopranos. Probably would have loved to have more music in the service today, because music was such a big part of both John and Margaret's life. How do we best remember Marg? It's a difficult thing to ask. There's been so many things said, and said so well. I guess if there was one area of her life that epitomized who she was, it was ministry to children. It's never easy to be a foster parent. I think in talking to foster parents, some of the most difficult thing about being a foster parent is giving children back after you've had them and started to love them and include them in your family, and then you realize that, and I guess she had that so well, you know, you minister to them for the day or the week or the month or the year that God gives them to you. But then there was one that she couldn't give back that became part of the family, Billy. So in some respects, you're very special in being included in this family. Thank you for your part in the family today. Why did Marg have such a deep love and concern for children? I'm going to hypothesize, because Marg's not here to tell me. But Marg started her life with some life experiences that were very vulnerable, at times very painful, sometimes insecure in those early years. Parental consistency in the first 5 years of her life was not something that was there. And possibly out of that aspect of who she was as a little girl, she realized that every child should have the opportunity of being loved and cared for. After her adoption at the age of 5, she was introduced to Jesus Christ at Knox Presbyterian Church. And both John and Mark were married there by Dr. Fitch. Her concept of consistency and dependability must have started at a young age, because she stayed with her mother until her mother died. And then a year later, she married the love of her life, John. And God has given them many, many good years together. And I'm sure that this week has been a very difficult week for John, all the memories flooding back in. But also realizing that God loves him and is going to be there for him in these days ahead. Because she had come to know the love and forgiveness of her Savior, she was able to share that love that Jesus put in her heart with other people, and particularly with children. In the Christmas story, the angel Gabriel said these words to Joseph in a dream. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Mankind was under a death sentence, and God graciously provided in Jesus Christ, who came that first Christmas, provided a way that we don't have to pay for our own sin. Because Jesus, who lived that perfect life, was willing to come and die on our behalf. John the Apostle puts it this way: "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." A little later in this passage, John goes on to say this: "This is the verdict. Light came into the world." So Jesus came to be the Savior. He came to be light in a dark place. I think one of the songs that Mark would have taught her children was this little song. It says this: "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine." There's a number of other verses to that, but the last one, in a sense, says, "We'll let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine." Mark certainly let her light shine for all of the days of her life. I remember the last time I read scripture to her and prayed with her in the hospital, when she was conscious and able to respond to me, she had a big smile on her face. Even with a tube down her throat, she was able to smile. I don't know exactly how you do that, but I could see it on her face. She was an example, even in the hospital in those days, to those who saw her. Each Christian is encouraged to be a light in our dark world. Jesus put it this way. He said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." We've acknowledged today many of Marg's good deeds. But if we go on and say too much more about Mark, she's going to be upset with us, because Mark was very humble. She liked to work behind the scenes. She wasn't one that liked the limelight. She was much more comfortable giving all the praise and all the glory to her Savior for anything that she did. I saw a picture at the funeral home yesterday. Maybe some of the rest of you in the Horticulture Society were in that picture. But some of you won an award from the city for your contribution to the community And Marg was in that picture smiling and probably saying, why did you have to take a picture? Now, can't I just do this without any notoriety? When Marg died on Tuesday, it was a very difficult day for the family. Her soul left her body and went to heaven. Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Many in our world believe that as long as they do good works in this life, that heaven is a place that they will go. But if that were the case, then we would not be celebrating Christmas each year. Because the coming of that baby, whose name was Jesus, he came because good works doesn't do it. He came to be God's gift to the world so that they might have their sins forgiven and be given that wonderful opportunity of going to heaven one day. You see, God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Paul in Ephesians 2 kind of puts it this way. He says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that any person could boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So once we give our lives over to Jesus and allow him to give us that direction in his life, he gives us purpose and he gives us work to do and he encourages us to do it well for the kingdom of God. And certainly Mark did it well for the kingdom of God. And God entrusted her with so many things to do, didn't he? And she did them so well. And I must confess, I didn't know, I knew about half of them. But I must confess, I didn't realize that she was on a bread run every Monday morning and brought all the bread, because I don't usually work Monday here. So I didn't see her bringing the bread in every Monday. But that just kind of reflects a little bit on who she is, isn't it? Helping other people. Behind the scenes, not necessarily being out front and being seen. There have been a number of people who've died this year and other years from this congregation who knew Mark very well. They're probably having a wonderful reunion in heaven today. I don't know whether you can look down from heaven and see people on earth or not. Scripture isn't too clear on that. But I'm sure she's having a wonderful talk with May Cook and Lillian Barkey and many, many others that she's known and loved who've gone on before her. Some people see life as all there is in this earth. I'm so glad that God says that there's life that's eternal and forever. And so when we have a funeral like this today, we don't have to mourn as those who have no hope, for we know our hope is in Jesus Christ. And we know that when we die here, that he has a place prepared for us in heaven. He went 2,000 years ago to prepare places for us. And many people have gone to be with him in those last 2,000 years, and there's many more to come to heaven as well. Personal reminiscences of Mark, probably more related to Sunday school than anything else. I've been teaching a Sunday school class here for a while, and the last little while it's been downstairs. So it's down in the same area that Mark teaches, and if I get ready for my class, I wander around waiting for my class to show up. And Mark is always there. So we would chat, and you know, the first student would come in, and of course, as soon as the first student comes in, you've lost her attention,
because it gets focused on that child. And even though the others haven't come yet, even though it isn't time yet for Sunday school, Marg's got them started. And she loved them, and we used to have our chats those times when she was getting ready and all prepared in advance for the children as they came. This past Tuesday, Marg went to be with the Lord. The words in the front of the bulletin are so reflective of her life, aren't they? Do you see them there? Did you read it? Maybe you didn't. Maybe we should all kind of turn to the front page and read it. It says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Those of you who think that when you get promoted to heaven that you're going to rest and not work, I have some news for you. I think Jesus probably has some work for Marg to do there too. And probably because she loves to work and loves to be busy, that'll probably be great for her. She'll say, "Oh, yes, I'd rather do something than do nothing." And I'm sure that God will be providing her some things to do. We always talk about heavenly choirs. I don't know whether you have to practice a lot in heaven or not, Dory. I would think that maybe you'd be on pitch all the time and so on. We wouldn't have to have long practices. We just kind of know all the music. Just imagine being able to sing all the wonderful Christian music and not have to look at a note or whatever. Well, I better not go there. We could spend a lot of time thinking about that. But heaven's a wonderful place, and Marg has gone there. And I trust that you know Jesus as Savior, because one day he may call us. Because God is the one who gives life, and God is the one who takes life away. Marg, we want to thank you as a congregation, as a community, for your great contribution to us, to our memory. I thank you, Julia mentioned it so well. You've been a mentor to many of the young women and other women in the church. Thank you for that. We pray, Father, that you would raise up other women that would become great mentors and great lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," reverberate through our minds today. I thank you, Father, that here's a lady that you can say that to so clearly. Thank you for her life. Thank you for her memories. Thank you for the legacy that she leaves to us. Thank you, Father, for all of the children that she has impacted in a spiritual way, in a kingdom way, in a way that has eternal influence and impact. We thank you for her life and pray your blessing on the family at this time. May your comfort be John's portion. We thank you, Father, for Betty and all her friends who've come from daybreak today to be with her in this her time of loss. We thank you for Jonathan. We thank you for Anne. We thank you for Billy. And pray, Father, that they will sense your strength in their lives in these days. We thank you for Jean, who was so close to her sister, who loved her so dearly, who spent much time talking with her. We pray, Father, your blessing on them as a family and other family members today, the grandchildren that always would bring Marg such joy. And Father, as we sing our closing hymn, may it be one that helps us to reflect on heaven again. For we pray this in your name. Amen.
Pastor Barry didn't go far enough with his application. Street Connection needs somebody to pick up the buns Monday morning. You can speak to me. Gail Jennings needs some help on the fourth Tuesdays of every month, and you can speak to Marg Murphy down there. Awana needs somebody to help with the cubbies. You can talk to Julie or Tyler about that. Paula McGregor needs a Sunday school teacher. And I'm speaking to our congregation. There is some real slack to pick up here. Mark had a wonderful life and a wonderful ministry, and we've got some real holes to fill here. And we just are so thankful for her ministry here. Let's stand and sing "When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder."
Couple of announcements before the benediction. The interment is going to follow immediately at Dixon's Hill. You're invited to join us if you would like. We also have a reception downstairs that's prepared and ready now. So if you want to stay at the reception, the family and others who go to the interment will be back shortly. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.